Barkley returns to Tanglewood for a Concert Theater Works development project in partnership with the Tanglewood Learning Institute. The object of his creative attention for Full Tilt this summer is Joseph Bologna, the Chevalier de Saint-Georges. Bologna was a decorated military officer, champion swordsman, acclaimed violinist, composer, and conductor, a true Renaissance man of the classical period, and an artist of color in 18th century France. Director of music for Shakespeare's Globe, Bill Barkley's original music has been performed across the United States, around the world, for President Obama, the British royal family, the Olympic torch, at the UN, and in Buckingham Palace. He will be leading Full Tilt at Tanglewood's Lindy Center on Monday night, August 19th at 8 p.m., and it's a pleasure to welcome Bill Barkley to the roundtable. Bill, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. It's a joy to be here.
As director of music for Shakespeare's Globe, you are here doing this. What brought you to this particular endeavor?
I found out about the Chevalier de Saint-Georges about a year ago, and since then just have been absolutely obsessed with this forgotten figure in classical music and European history. His story is fascinating, and I thought it deserved a telling in the genre I call concert theater, which is a play with live music.
So tell us a little bit about him. He was a decorated military officer. He was a swordsman and, on the other side, a violinist, a composer, a conductor.
Yes, so he makes his debut at 15, beating one of the great fencing masters in Europe in a fencing match that was attended by the nobility in France. And he wins easily, and Louis XV immediately knights him and dubs him Le Chevalier de Saint-Georges and makes him a member of his own personal guard. So he's very well noted as a swordsman. He also was an incredibly handsome man with a lot of athletic ability. And then about 7 or 8 years later, he magically makes his debut as a virtuoso violinist, and no one had known that he was a musician, but suddenly he's debuting concertos that he's composed on the violin and very quickly climbs the ranks of the musical community in Paris as well. His story is really quite extraordinary.
The fact that he was an artist of color, what did this mean in 18th century France?
Well, slavery was illegal in France, but it was still, of course, being carried on through the colonies. Guadeloupe and Martinique and the slave trade that people do know about was making the crown an awful lot of money. And France and Britain were involved in the Seven Years' War, right around the time that the Chevalier was in his 20s. And during that war, there was this feeling at home in France that the race of Frenchmen was being, it's horrible to say, but was being polluted by minorities. Of course, this is somewhat familiar territory just today. But he becomes this lightning rod for this debate because, of course, urban Paris loved him and thought that he was an incredible asset to the artistic community in Paris. But the radical right-wing part of the country wanted to create a registry of all blacks in France and were desperate to sort of keep the minority down. So he was at this crossroads where he was beloved. He became an aristocrat, but because of his race, he couldn't marry and couldn't have legitimate children. So he becomes, for me, this very dramatic figure that reflects some of the cultural ills that still persist today.
What do we know about his training as an artist?
We know so little about how on earth he came to be so dominant on the violin. We don't even know who his teacher was, although people have their guesses. He just suddenly appeared as this virtuoso and from then on started composing actively. And then from about the late 1770s, when he's in his mid-30s, he then stops writing instrumental music and starts composing operas, of which he composed six, only a few of which survive. And then the revolution starts, and then his career completely changes, and he becomes the general of the first all-black regiment in European history to fight for the Republic.
Does he ever return to being a musician?
He does. Quite amusingly, after several of the sort of big military moments in his life, he then goes on tour as a violinist or carries on a concert the night after he's attacked by five men with guns who he fights off with a stick. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. His life continued to be one extraordinary chapter after the next. He ceases composing after a while, but continues to play as a violinist, and then towards his death, he just retreats to playing the violin alone as if it's the only solace that he has.
So what can people expect from the program on Monday at 8 o'clock on the 19th?
Well, I've chosen to try and focus his story through the lens of two key relationships. One is with Marie Antoinette. It is known that he came and gave her music lessons, and the exchanges that they had, of course, intrigued me dramatically to no end, what they might have talked about and the relationship they must have had and shared, both as immigrants, because Marie Antoinette came from Austria, and the Chevalier, of course, came from Guadeloupe. And the second relationship, which is really the one that got me started writing, is with Mozart. It is a statement of fact that Mozart and the Chevalier lived under the same roof for 3 months in 1778. Just by a stroke of luck, they ended up living together. So they knew each other. And we know by studying the music that Mozart took some ideas from the Chevalier's works. So they have a musical exchange. And Marie Antoinette and the Chevalier also have a musical exchange, but no doubt a political exchange as well. So the play that I've written with music really looks at Marie Antoinette, Mozart, Le Chevalier, and then the fourth character, which I will play, is the narrator, who's Pierre Chaudereau de Laclos, who also is a military artist. He's famous for writing Dangerous Liaisons, the play, and he ended up writing the libretto for two of Saint-Georges' operas.
When it comes to this relationship and understanding Mozart and the Chevalier, is it, do you think they were both learning from each other?
I do. I think there was a great exchange there. I mean, the Chevalier is 10 years older than Mozart, and at that point, Mozart, of course, is famous, but in his young 20s is still transitioning from being a prodigy to being a full-blown adult. What's interesting dramatically is that they meet 2 days after Mozart's mother dies. So we have an opportunity to look at a very vulnerable Mozart, really on his knees, desperate for a job, desperate to convince the rest of the musical intelligentsia that he can be a Kapellmeister, that he can be a music director, which is what his desire is. So you have this vulnerable Mozart against this very confident, very well-beloved, very well-established black man in the 1770s, and the sort of pugnancy of that potential relationship, I think, has a lot of dramatic power that I try to explore.
When it comes to that exploration and the music, is it going to be all of his music, or have you written music for this as well?
I have not written music for this presentation. I'm interested in this being a first reading at this story. I'm very interested in people taking a look and understanding the dramatic potential of this for some kind of a future life that might involve more original composition. But the chief desire to present this at Tanglewood is, of course, to present Saint-Georges' music and as much of it as possible. And his music is much more important for people to hear than mine, certainly.
And in hearing that music, what do you hope they understand? What do you hope the takeaway is?
Well, Saint-Georges is the first major composer in classical music history of African descent. There are many others. It's so vital in this cultural moment that we're going through as a nation right now for us to understand some of these minority voices, why they've been scrubbed from history, and what their contributions are. Of course, it's not just because he was black, it's because the revolution happened. So there was a 40-year period in French cultural history that gets curtailed and washed away. Buildings get burned, records get lost, and so there are a lot of forgotten figures right at the end of the monarchy in the 18th century in France. But most critically, this is a black composer whose music is sensational, is not widely played, whose story is fascinating, is not widely known. And this is an opportunity to show everyone that we have more light to cast on some of these forgotten figures that have a lot to tell us about our life today.
So we refer to him as Chevalier de Saint-Georges, but Joseph Bologna was his name, correct?
Yes.
What do we know of his, you detailed a little bit of this, but in coming from Guadeloupe, his status there, and as you say, we know very little about his musical journey, but his journey to France.
His father was white. He was a Frenchman, but who had been in Guadeloupe for several generations. He was a colon. He was an owner of a sugar plantation. His mother was the black Creole servant of his father's wife. Now, young Joseph gets brought to France when he's seven, and because he can't, as his father's rich father's only son, he can't inherit without being a member of the nobility. So his father really takes Joseph and brings him to Paris, where, because of the urban culture, he could potentially be respected and trained and educated as a nobleman, and that's exactly what his father does. He puts him into school. Joseph becomes a fantastic fencer. He is deemed in his teenage years to have incredible athletic prowess, and Joseph climbs his way up until this big duel where he beats one of the great fencing masters in France, and the king takes note, and that's when the king, at 17 years old, a young Joseph is dubbed Le Chevalier and made this member of the king's private guard, obviously the only black knight in France.
It's an amazing story. The Tanglewood Learning Institute is the place. Full Tilt, the Black Mozart, will be performed on Monday, August 19th at 8 p.m. You can find out more information at tli.org, tli.org. which, of course, stands for Tanglewood Learning Institute. Bill Barkley, a great pleasure to speak with you. Thank you very much, and have a beautiful performance.
Thank you.
Again, you can find out more information by going to tli.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.